is enough. He is all we need. And it's a good reminder for us to be able to have in our lives. Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter 49, I share with you this morning. I've got a truth. I want to help you tonight. And you're going to have to pay attention on purpose tonight, okay? There's a lot of foundational things that are going to be said. And then we're going to get into the crux of the message, okay? Genesis chapter number 49, when you get there, stand with me. Verse number 22 is where we're going to begin. Genesis 49, verse number 22. Here, Jacob, or as we know him, Israel, is at the end of his life. He's going through and he's talking to all of his sons, all 12 of them, and telling them what their inheritance is, telling them what's going to be with their life and what God's going to do and what they're going to be able to do for God. He gives them their strengths. He gives them their weaknesses, and he begins to focus on specific things. Well, right in the middle of all the brothers, we see here Joseph. Now, Joseph is probably one of the better known characters of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's one that we follow his life in the book of Genesis, and we see all the different things that come of him. He was the brother that was hated for the longest time, but he was the brother that ended up saving the family in the end. All right. And he gives him some truths here in his life and goes over some different aspects. Look at verse 22. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. This is going to be our text verse. We're going to come back to this here in a minute. Verse 23, and the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of the word of God. Help us as we look at Joseph and we look at him being a fruitful bough and what that means, what that entails for us. Help your people, Lord. Help us to focus intently on the Word of God tonight and then look at some simple truths that are going to help our families. And I pray that you'd show us, guide us tonight. Bless your Word and the preaching of it. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Many times in our lives, we don't always understand the purpose of fruit. Okay? Let me explain. Again, we're going to lay some foundation, then we're going to get into the message. Verse number 22, he says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Okay? So he's referring to the fact that Joseph is the most fruitful child of all 12 children. Okay? Meaning that he is producing fruit. There's a lot of things that's going on in his life that are producing fruit. Now, you look at Joseph's life and you'd say, well, Joseph went through a whole lot more than all the rest of them went through. Joseph was a guy who started out and he had a vision as a young child of his parents and his brothers. He had two different dreams, and in both of the dreams, he was exalted and his parents and his brothers were bowing down before him. And every one of his brothers hated him because of it. To add to that, Joseph was given a coat of many colors by his father, meaning that his father had a bunch of favorites in his home. He chose one child above all the other children, and he had a favorite in Joseph. And so Joseph is getting some hatred from his brothers. But here at the end of his life, his dad reminds him that he's a fruitful bough. And all the things that he had gone through for the glory of God. Let me show you in verse number 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. So let's look at the life of Joseph. What did he go through? Well, Joseph, remember, he suffered a lot of pain, punishment, and persecution from his family. He was cast into a pit and he was left for dead. He was then sold as a prisoner to the Ishmaelites. Then he was sold to Potiphar, and he served in Potiphar's house. He was exalted while there in Potiphar's house, but Potiphar's wife began to make advances toward him, and he fled, and he left his coat there at the house, and then he ended up getting cast into prison because of the lies that were being spread about him. While he was in prison, he was beginning to reveal dreams of the baker and of the butcher, and told him that one of you is going to die and the other one's going to live and be restored back to his position. But when you get restored, don't forget about me. Remember that I'm here. Well, he got restored to his position, and then Joseph got forgotten about again. And so Joseph is here in a place of depression, a place of discouragement, a place you could say even of despondency. But one day, Pharaoh had a dream, and Pharaoh needed that dream interpreted. And he brought Joseph out of prison because he was reminded there's a man in prison that can interpret dreams. And so he's brought out of prison and he came to the palace and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh set him up in charge, told him there's going to be 7 years of plenty in the land. And then after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And what we need to do is we need to take the plenty of the land and we need to store it in silos and we need to store it in grain houses and we need to set it aside so that we can be able to feast during the time of famine. And it's during that time where Egypt is going to begin to buy up all the land around them and provide for everybody all around them. And Egypt's going to become a great nation, all simply because we're going to follow the steps that Joseph laid out for Pharaoh. So he had gone from the pit to the palace. It was not enjoyable for him. But here his dad said that he was sorely grieved. He was hated, but his bow abode in strength. And he's called a fruitful bow. Let's get back to the fruit now. In your life, when you bear fruit, that fruit is not for you. Okay? Again, you're going to listen on purpose here. The fruit that you bear is not for you. How many of you have fruit trees at your house? I know y'all got a peach, had a peach tree. Got another one. You got fruit trees at your, what kind of fruit tree you got?
Apples.
Apples. We got some persimmon trees out here on the property. There's a guy in town that has apple trees and he's got pear trees in his yard. There's different people that have fruit trees. Now let me ask you, have you ever seen an apple tree take its branch and pull over to the other side, pull down an apple and begin to eat that apple? Anybody ever seen that? If you see that, cut the tree down. It's demon possessed. All right. Get rid of that thing. All right. But you've never seen that happen because the fruit is not for the tree. All right, are we following along? The fruit is for everybody else that's going to come to the tree. The fruit is for nourishment and for sustenance and for food for those that come and eat of the fruit of that tree. So when you bear fruit in your life, just like the tree, the apple tree doesn't eat its own apples, the orange tree doesn't eat its own oranges, but what we do is we go to the tree and we pluck off the fruit, and we can do a myriad of things with those fruit in our lives. So the fruit that is borne by these trees is used by others. So in your life, if you're going to be a fruitful bow, and we'll get to this in just a moment again, but by way of introduction, by way of laying a foundation, when you are a fruitful bow and you are bearing fruit in your lives, that fruit is not for you to be able to enjoy as a child of God. That fruit is for others to be able to see in your life and to be able to glean from your life as you begin to invest in them. Does that make sense? It begins to supply sustenance for them. It begins to supply nourishment for them. It begins to supply all the necessary things that they need to be able to move on for the glory of God, simply because of the fruit that you produce. Here, Joseph is called a fruitful bow. Even a fruitful bow by a whale, verse 22. Notice in verse 24, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now, we're not going to go to it, but you can go to John chapter number 15, and Jesus Christ is teaching a lot of the same truth to his disciples. He says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Any man abide in me, he shall bear fruit. And he talks about how in order for us to bear fruit, he's got to be able to purge us in our lives. And in verse number 7 of chapter 15 of the book of John, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And he talks about how we should bear fruit and much fruit and more fruit and even fruit that abounds in our lives. All throughout chapter number 15, being a fruit-bearing Christian. Now here, he says, God says about Joseph that his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. All the trials and all the persecution, all the hard times that Joseph went through while he was in the pit, while he was a prisoner, while he was serving Potiphar, while lies were being made about him by Potiphar's wife, while he was stuck in a prison for all that time, being forgotten about, and then finally exalted to a palace. God says every bit of that was strengthening that was for him. Okay? The trials that you go through in your life are for your good and for God's glory. And they are to strengthen you because God's going to expect you now to grow and to be able to bear fruit. All right? And become a fruitful bow. Listen, Joseph could not have borne fruit in his life if he did not go through all the trials and persecutions that he had gone through earlier in life. All the heartache that he faced, all the hard times that he faced. He would have never been able to provide for, let alone not just Israel, but the whole world at that time during the famine, if he had not gone through all those hard times as a young person. What was God doing? According to verse number 24, God was given his arms and his hands strength. God was making him strong during these hard times. So when you're going through the trials, when you're going through the heartaches of life, when you're going through things that most people don't even understand, let alone know all of the gritty details, when you're going through the hard times, God is trying to make you strong. God is trying to strengthen your arms. God is trying to strengthen your hands. Why? Because you're going to be a tree that's going to have a fruitful bow. All right? And that tree is going to grow up. And again, what do we call the arms of a tree? We call them limbs, right? Where's the fruit born? It's not born on the trunk of a tree. It's born on the limbs. Jesus Christ is the vine and we are the branches. He is the trunk and we are the branches. And we're going to branch out and we've got to be able to hold up the fruit that's going to be born in our lives. Does that make sense? Are we following along? Now, let's look here at what it says. The Bible says in verse 25, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee. So here God is going to help Joseph be able to strengthen his arms and to strengthen his hands so that when he bears the fruit, he's able to be a help to someone else. Okay, we're following along. Then he says God is also going to bless him. How is he going to bless him? He gives him a fourfold blessing in verse 25. First, he says, I'll bless thee with the blessings of heaven above. That's where we get our supply. The rain comes down, and what does it do? It nourishes the earth. It supplies the water for the earth. The blessings from heaven come down, and they supply our lives. Now, then he says, blessings of the deep that lieth under. These are blessings that require searching on our part. The blessings that are discovered because we've done a little digging. As a child, I used to always like to dig holes. Okay? Randomly, ask my dad. Randomly, I would just grab a shovel and start digging. It wasn't always the smartest thing because one time I was digging down in Little Rock, you may remember this. I was digging with a shovel out by our pine tree out in the front yard. And I was digging and I was throwing the dirt over my head. That's when I learned as a young child not to throw a shovel over your head. All right? Because nothing good comes from it. You're supposed to take this and shovel it out to the side where you can keep track of what's going on. You say, well, what happened when you shoveled it over your head and over your shoulder? Well, I caught my sister across the bridge of the nose with a shovel. You remember that? Yeah, praise the Lord. I didn't know she was coming behind me. Man, somebody's out there messing with a shovel. Don't run up behind them. It's not that intelligent, all right? But, moving on. She come behind me, and the shovel went to flying, all right? And the dirt went to flying. And she got smacked right on the nose. I got in a lot of trouble, and I got some whoopings from that. But you say, why'd you tell that story? Because right here, there are blessings that come from heaven above. Those are blessings that are our supply. Then there's blessings that come from the earth beneath. Those are blessings that have to be searched for. You see, sometimes you're going to go through hard times. Sometimes you're going to go through trials. And sometimes you're going to have to make sure that you are looking for the blessing of God. Sometimes you've got to make sure you're looking for the hand of God in your trial and in your struggle. There have been a lot of times where as a child of God, I've gone through a trial. trial and I've gone through a hard time and I begin to wonder, God, where are you? What I have to do, I have to look specifically. I've got to search for the hand of God. Just because I'm going through a trial doesn't mean He's not there. No, He is there. I've just got to make sure I find where He's at specifically. But also, I've got to search for the blessings that are there. Notice, these are blessings of the deep that lieth beneath. These are blessings that you search for. Then notice, blessings of the breast. Many of you, I understand there's children in here. Many of you that are mothers, you understand that a mother nurses her child. These are blessings of sustenance. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow there. These are blessings that will sustain you. These are blessings that will give you the strength that's needed. And then here, blessings and of the womb. That's, of course, the blessing of salvation. What happens in the womb? Birth. A new life happens. These are blessings of salvation. When we're saved, not just saved positionally as far as being placed in heaven, but saved out of a trial, saved out of a hard time, given a new opportunity. Now, these applications can be made. But then he says, in verse 26, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. He's telling Joseph, listen here, buddy. Your blessings and the hand of blessing that God has on your life has far exceeded what I've ever encountered. Remember, Jacob was the one who wrestled with God, was he not? Jacob was the one whose hip was knocked out of joint. Jacob was the one who had power with God. That's what God said about him. But Joseph here was a fruitful bow. And here, his blessings were now far above what his father had noticed. He says, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. He's saying, hey, your blessings have far exceeded what I ever imagined, but there's going to be more blessings to come as well. They shall be on the head. That means there's more future blessings to come. Now, let's go back to verse number 22 and let me give some explanation of where we're at. Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. I shared with you this morning, I've got a message. I'm going to try to help you to be able to raise and rear your children for the glory of God. And there's some truths found in verse number 22 that are going to help you do that. You see, I don't see anything about child rearing in that verse. Okay, this is where you got to pay attention on purpose. All right? First, I want you to notice his situation. Look at verse 22. He is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well. Here, he is situated by a well. What does a well do? A well provides water. A well provides life. One of the first things that anybody would do whenever they would come to a new land, the first thing that they would do is they would begin to dig a well. They would begin to dig to try to find water. They would begin to dig to try to find something that would sustain the colony, sustain the village, sustain the family. So here, Joseph is called a fruitful bow, and the Bible says that he is a fruitful bow by a well. And he has a well, or he has a place of water that has sustained him during the hard times. In your Christian life, you need to understand that you've been situated just like Joseph has, that you've been situated by a well. What do you hold in your lap? You hold the Word of God, right? This is a well of unbelievable depth. This is a well that you can go back to each and every day and you can get the supply that you need. You can get the sustenance that you need. You can get each and everything that you need to get in your life and you've got to go to the well for it. You've been situated by a well. And you're going to be a fruitful bow if you stay by the well of water. Hold your place here. Go to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. Wednesday night, we began to break down verse number 1, and I made the application of, it was last Sunday night, of people and the digression away from God. But in verse number 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So there's going to be a blessed man or a happy man who is delighting in the Word of God, and he's meditating upon the Word of God. But then notice verse number 3, and a conjunction that continues the thought here. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We, when we get situated into the Word of God, we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where do we get our sustenance? Where does a tree get its life sustenance from? It gets it from the roots. There's a process that the tree will go through, and it'll use the xylem and the phloem. I understand scientific terms well above people's heads, okay? Basically, what it means is they would suck the water out of the ground and send it up into the tree, and they would take all the bad things out of the tree and send it down back into the ground, all right? And so it's the process of growth that happens. Just like you breathe in oxygen, you breathe out carbon dioxide. How does your body do it? Well, you breathe in the oxygen goes to the blood cells go to all the parts of the body, they take the oxygen and pump it into all the different places, they take the carbon dioxide and they take it back out of the body, and it goes all out, all in one breath. Boom! Just like that. God's made a wonderful body, okay? But here, the Bible says that we are going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. There's going to be fruit that you're going to bring forth, but you got to stay situated by the water. All right? Are we following along? And there's going to be fruit that you're going to bring forth, but it's going to happen in God's timing. He shall bring forth His fruit when? In His season. That means everybody's not going to bear fruit at the same time. There's going to be some times where some people in the church are bearing fruit, and others may not bear as much fruit at that time. It could be God's allowing you to nurture and to grow and to get that sustenance so that later on, as you grow in the Lord, you're able to have the strength to bear the fruit for others. All right, I'll be following along. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Meaning that you're going to have life-sustaining sustenance. You're going to have the water that's needed all the time. You take and you look at the trees out there. During the seasons, as the seasons come and the seasons go, leaves will begin to grow and bloom. But then there's a time where the leaves begin to wither away. We know, especially during the heat of the summer, sometimes the grass will begin to turn brown because it's not getting the water that it needs. What's it doing? It's withering away. You see, as long as we are the tree that's situated by the well of water, as long as we are beside the river of water, which is the Word of God, and as long as we are situated where God intends for us to be, we can get the strength, we can get the sustenance, we can get the life that God intends for us to have so that our leaf will not wither. And when your leaf begins to wither, it's because you're not in the book like you should be. Are we following along? When we're not, listen, I understand everyone's going to bear fruit at a different season. Everyone's going to bear a different amount of fruit in each different season, okay? But just because you may not be bearing specific fruits right now, don't get discouraged. Just make sure your leaf's not withering. All right, are we following? Make sure your leaf is not withering. Make sure you stay by the well of water. Make sure you stay into the Word of God. And make sure that leaf has the strength and has the sustenance. And as you're going through the trials, and as you begin to trust and you begin to depend upon God for your strength, He'll begin to strengthen your arms. He'll begin to strengthen your hands so that when you become a fruitful bough like a tree, you can bear the fruit and the fruit can hold up. All right? Now, look at Genesis Chapter 49 again. Here, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. I want you to notice here, his situation is by a well. Secondly, I want you to notice, verse 22 says, whose branches run over the wall. Secondly, I want you to notice, not only is there a well, and that's where his situation is, but notice there's a wall. So I want you to notice this, not just his situation is by a well, but notice his secret is behind a wall. Here we see his secret. You see, there were things that Joseph would go through in his life that his brothers never knew about. Because the last time they saw him, they had sold him to the travelers. And they had taken and they had covered his coat of many colors with blood. And they had taken him back to his dad, their daddy. And they had said he has died. And that wild animal had eaten him up. And everybody thought that he was dead. And the brothers knew that he was just gone. They never expected to see him again. They didn't know of all the trials that he had gone through. They didn't know of all the heartaches that he had faced. Are we following along? They didn't know all the persecution that he had gone through. They didn't know that he had had a woman that lied about him and his testimony. They didn't know that he had suffered time in prison. They didn't know that he had been forgotten about by everybody else, just that he was forgotten about by them. They didn't know all he had gone through. So there's going to be some times where you're going to go through some trials. There's going to be some times where you're going to go through some heartaches, and other people may not be able to see it visibly. We'll tie this all in together in just a minute. Parents, understand this truth, okay? There's going to be some times where you're going to go through some heartaches in your marriage. There's going to be some times where you go through some heartaches in your finances. And listen, there's going to be some times where those heartaches are done in secret. You're going to be behind a wall. Does it make sense? Okay? Follow with. There's going to be times where those heartaches are given in secret. There's going to be some times where your children may not know the heartaches that you're facing. They may not know the trials that you're going through. They may not know the hard times that you're going through because they can't handle those hard times right now. Because they can't, their arms aren't strong enough, okay? Their hands aren't strong enough. They can't bear the weight of what you're enduring. That's why God's allowing you to endure it. And they're not supposed to bear the weight. Okay? I'll get to that explanation in just a minute. But there were things that his family did not see. He was behind a wall. There were some things that his children, since he was a parent now, there were some things that his children did not see. You see, the wall was there to hide the burdens that others couldn't handle. The wall was there to hide the burdens that others couldn't handle. But listen, he wasn't isolated by himself behind the wall. What was he beside? He was situated by a well. So he wasn't the only one that was inside the wall. He was inside the wall with the one who was life-sustaining, and that is Jesus Christ. That's where the well is at. It's in the Word of God, and we've got to spend time with God. There's going to be some times where you go through heartaches. There's going to be some times where you go through trials. There's going to be some times where things are done in secret and others may not know about it simply because you are bearing a burden and they're not supposed to know about it right now. They're not supposed to see the hardships. They're not supposed to see the trials. There's some things his children couldn't see because right now they can't handle the burdens. And young people, you pay attention as well. There's some times where your parents may not share everything with you because you can't handle it right now. There's some times where there's some things they're going to reserve from your knowledge. It's not because they're trying to be mean to you. It's not because they hate you. It's because they love you and they know that you can't handle those things yet. Listen, nobody in their right mind would place a financial budget on top of their 7-year-old child. Okay? Your kid can't handle that. They don't know the value of money yet. Most of your teenagers don't know the value of money. They got to learn these things. They can't handle the burden. They can't handle the weight. They will crash and they will be crumbled and crushed underneath the weight of the pressure of those things. And we've got to understand there's some times where you've just got to stay situated by the well in secret behind a wall. And others may not know the burden you're going through. Others may not know the trial that you're going through. Whenever we began to make the transition, and even before then, I shared with my wife on several different occasions. I said, there's going to be times where, when I'm pastoring one day, there's some times where there's some things that are dealt with in my office, and you're not going to be privy to that information because it's not your burden to carry. It would be unjust for you that like to use the term unfair. All right? I don't care much for the word fair. All right? But it would be unjust. It would be not right for me to come and unload all my burdens on my wife. God didn't put her in the position of pastor. She's not supposed to bear those burdens. Does that make sense? There are things that I'm supposed to bear that she's not supposed to bear. But also there's things that she and I are supposed to bear together that our children are not supposed to bear. Okay? We've got to be situated beside the well, but behind the wall. The situation's by a well. The secret is we're behind a wall. You see, the walls to hide the burdens that others can't handle. Joseph was the only one who was supposed to go through that trial. Joseph was the only one who was supposed to go through the hard times, who was supposed to see the visions, who was supposed to go through the trials, who was supposed to be left alone in the prison. Why? So that Pharaoh can exalt him up to the palace one day and he can be able to redeem all of Egypt and the whole world at that time with a plan on how to give sustenance to everybody. As a matter of fact, it would have been sinful for Joseph to try to put that burden on someone else. As a matter of fact, when his brothers came to him, he didn't lash out at them, but he gave them sustenance instead because they needed it. He loved them through the hurt. He loved them in spite of them hating Him. Now that's hard to do. When somebody spits in your face, when somebody leaves you for dead, when somebody turns their back and curses you, it's hard to love them in the same vein. But it may be that God allowed Joseph to go through years of despondency and being forgotten to exalt him to a place to where he was strong enough, because God strengthened his arms, God strengthened his hands, for him to be able to be a blessing and a help to those that hated him one time. Here, it would have been sinful for him to try to have others bear his burden. But as a matter of fact, what he did instead, he told them, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You intended evil in my life, but God meant to strengthen me, and God meant to give me some resolve, and God meant to mold me and to shape me into what He wanted me to become, and God's now made me a fruitful bow, and I'm able to have branches that branch out over the walls, and others can have sustenance out of my life because God's now made me fruitful. Now, let me explain that. We've given you the situation. It's by a well. I've given you the secret place, which is behind a wall. And then notice, thirdly, there is substantial provision. There is substantial provision. Here he is referred to twice as a fruitful bow. Here he is told that he has branches that run over the wall. Now, let me explain this. There are times, I'm going to draw your attention. There are times where you're going to be in secret behind a wall where others may not see what's going on in your life. Okay? But there's going to be times where your branches will come over the wall and others can draw from the branches. Do we follow? Does that make sense? What I'm saying is this. When you're situated by the well, and you become a fruitful bow, and you go through the trials that you've gone through, and you go through the hard times that you've gone through, and God has given you strength in your hands, and God's given you strength in your arms, and you're able to now bear some fruit as a tree, as a child of God, those branches are going to grow up, and they're going to grow out. And while you're situated behind a wall, and you're situated beside a well, those branches are going to go out over the wall. And what's going to happen? There's going to be people who come by the wall and they're going to pull from the branch. Does that make sense? There's going to be people who come beside the wall and they're going to draw the fruit that's overhanging the wall. Because listen, the fruit was never intended for Joseph to enjoy. The fruit was always for others. Now this is where it comes to the home. Your children are going to see the things that go on inside your home. Your children are going to see the hard trials that you allow them to see. Now, if you keep those from your children, that's fine and dandy. You ought to keep some things in secret. They ought not know all the burdens that you're facing because they're not able to handle them right now. But as you're behind the wall and as you're situated by the well and you're in secret and you're going to God and you're trying to find out why God's trying to do this in your life and what God's trying to fulfill in your life through His purpose and through His plan, there's going to be some times where you're going to begin to grow up and the branches are going to extend over the wall and your children are going to come by the branch and they're going to say, "Ooh, fruit." And they're going to begin to eat that fruit. And that fruit will either be one of two things. That fruit will be a blessing to them or it will be a burden to them. When you bear fruit, the fruit that you bear is either going to be a blessing or a burden. You say, "How is that? What do you mean?" What I mean is this. When my wife and I are discussing different things, if we begin to have a knockdown, drag-out fight right in front of our children, and we begin to call each other names. By the way, you ask our children, they've never seen us fight. Okay? But we begin to have a knockdown, drag out. We begin to argue. She begins to throw pots and pans at me because she's a violent person. Alright? I'm just kidding. She begins to throw these things and she begins to just have a fit and we begin to just back and forth. Our children, do you think they're going to be under a blessing at that time or under a burden? Burden. It doesn't take a child to figure this out. Okay? They're going to be under a burden at that time. They're going to begin to take that in. They're going to begin to eat of that fruit that you have now put out for them. Are you listening? But if you stay behind the wall and you're situated beside the well, and you're going to God in secret, and you're going to God and you're giving God your burdens, because He says, cast all your care upon me, for He careth for you, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible says that we are to take God's yoke upon us. In Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28 and 29. And we're to come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, give me all of your problems and I'll give you fruit instead. Take my yoke upon you. Take my burden. My burden is light. By the way, He strengthens your arm to carry a light burden, not a heavy one. Are you listening? So your children are going to come. They're going to eat some fruit. And that fruit is either going to be a blessing or a burden. Now, if there's a knockdown, drag out fight, if we're going back and forth, always constantly bickering and arguing, our children are going to be underneath a burden. They're going to begin to contemplate in their minds, are my parents going to have a divorce? What's going to happen? What's going on in our home? Where are we at? What's going on? And our children are going to be confused. But if we stay behind the wall, okay, and we're situated by the well, and we go to God with all of our problems, and then we allow the branches to extend over the wall, our children are going to come by. They're going to see the fruit. They're going to eat the fruit. And they're going to begin to eat and enjoy the blessings of a peaceful home. They're going to enjoy the blessings of a mom and dad who love each other. They're going to enjoy the blessings of a mom and dad who have shown them how to take your burdens and how to go to the Lord with your burdens and how to move on for the glory of God and how to be able to still press on and stay faithful to the cause of Christ. Listen, the reason that there are so many preacher's kids that grow up in a preacher's home that end up out of church as soon as they turn 18 is because that pastor had gone home and him and his wife had unloaded their burdens on their children. Are you listening? They've unloaded their burdens on the children so that when the children get up, they begin to hate the ministry. They begin to hate the things of God. They don't ever darken the door of a church. Why? Because it was too much of a burden and they couldn't bear it because they were young and had no strength. Are you listening? You want to raise children for the glory of God. There's going to be some times where you've got to be able to bear that burden behind a wall. And you've got to be situated beside the well, which is the Word of God. And you've got to make sure that your strength and your sustenance is coming from Jesus Christ Himself. And you don't take your fruit and you don't allow your children to carry the burden that only you were supposed to carry. Because there are burdens that we're supposed to carry. Your children will either eat of the blessings of your life or they will eat of the burdens of your life. And if all we do is fight and argue and complain and unload all of our burdens for our children to begin to take in, then we're going to raise children who are bitter at the things of God. And later on, one day, they're going to be bitter at us as parents and probably want nothing to do with us. I understand. Listen, this is a very heavy truth tonight. But it's a very needful truth as well. I want your children to succeed. Young people, listen, I want you to be able to succeed for the cause of Christ. I want you to do great things for God. God has got great plans for every one of you in your life. But it's going to start not in the church. It's going to start in the home. And we've got to make sure that our homes are in order the way they're supposed to be. And we've got to make sure as men that we are leading our families the right way and that we are protecting our children behind a wall and beside a well. Are you paying attention? We've got to go back to the well, which is the Word of God. We've got to get our strength. We've got to get our sustenance. But we've got to make sure that we keep the secret things, behind a wall. And as you grow, as God strengthens your arms, as God strengthens your hands, then the fruit will grow up and branch out over the wall. And we got to be mindful of what our children are eating and partaking and what we're giving them. We're responsible. You see, they're going to eat one or the other. Either your children will eat the burdens of this life or they will eat the blessings of this life. Now listen to this. A steady diet of the burdens of this life will cause your children to become bitter and angry at God and they will leave the ministry. I've seen it time and time again. Young people grow up in a good godly home and the burdens get aired out in front of everybody. The children want nothing to do with God today. Now, listen, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody's families at all. But I understand exactly what he means right here. That Jacob's a fruitful bough, and a fruitful vine by a well whose branches run over the wall. I believe it intends that we can make the application for our homes and our families. Now understand this, a steady diet of the blessings of this life will cause your children to love God. It will cause your children to want to make God their personal God, and they'll want to stay faithful and fruitful in the work of God because they saw the blessings. My wife and I heard a song. First time we actually heard it was this weekend. And it's entitled, I Wouldn't Change It for the World. Is a college student at Hiles Anderson College. It's put out on one of their newest CDs, Songs from the Heart, Volume 2. And it talks about her growing up in a pastor's home. And she sees broken lives and broken hearts. She sees families restored. And she sees those with unforgiveness and bitterness give that over to the Lord. She's seen all these things. And then in the chorus it says, and I wouldn't change it, or I wouldn't trade it for the world. Why? Because she was raised in a home where mom and dad, yeah, had burdens, had trials, but they didn't let her carry those burdens and carry those trials because she was too young and she was not strong enough at that time. There's going to come times, you young people, where you're going to grow up, and some of you, it's right around the corner. You're about to be an adult. Teenagers, how many of you are 15 or older in here? Put your hand down. You got three of them. How many of you are 14? Older. You're 14, aren't you? How old are you? 14. Yeah, that's what I thought. 14. And you're about to be 14. That's six of you. That's half the youth group, Brother Anthony. 18 is a legal adult. It's right around the corner. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to mature, and you're going to mature real quick. It's coming up. It's right around the corner. I know we've got one in here that's got a job. Just got it this past summer. Had to grow up fast. This is reality. You got to grow up fast. I remember as a young person, my parents wouldn't let me get a job when I was in high school. They took care of different things. I got a job as soon as I graduated high school. But while I was in high school, I was still working. I worked at the church and I did local jobs around the neighborhood, mowing grass, doing different things, picking up lawns. Well, when I got my first job working at a restaurant waiting tables, here comes the burdens of life. Here comes the reality of bills. Here comes the reality of, hey, there's people out there that don't believe like I believe. There's going to be people that are out there that begin to do other things. They're going to invite you to a party. And they're going to invite you to drink. And they're going to invite you to smoke. They're going to invite you to do all these things. And you've got to have your standards and convictions nailed down and know what you believe and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And that starts in the home. And we as parents have got to help them to establish these things. Listen, these kids can go to the world at the click of Google and find out anything they want to find out today. All information is at their fingertips. But you know what? They can also go to their friends, many of them, and they can find out absolutely anything they want to find out from their friends. I learned more trash and garbage from my friends when I was a young person than anywhere else. You got to be mindful of who you are allowing your young people to hang around with and the things that are coming into their lives. You have got to teach them as a parent how to be situated behind a wall like you ought to be. You've got to learn how to teach them how to be situated beside a well like you should be. Instead of telling our children, hey, you need to walk with God and you need to read your Bible, maybe we need to pull our children in and say, hey, let's read our Bible. Hey, let's walk with God. Hey, let's pray. Let's have some family devotion. Let's have some time to get there. Let me show you how to get something from your Bible. Maybe that's what we ought to be doing. Showing them how to be situated by the well. Showing them how to learn something from God. Showing them how to be positioned behind a wall and how to deal with some things in a private manner, in an attackful manner, in a very ethical manner. It'd be unethical for me to take the burdens that y'all have given me as your pastor and to unload them on my family because my family can't bear those. It'd be unethical. Might I even say it would disqualify me as a man of God? Because there's some things that we're going to be privy to behind an office door that others may not be privy to. There's some counseling, some things. There's some things that maybe even legally that I'm going to be privy to that others don't need to know about. And there's burdens that have to be carried in our lives. And there's burdens that you as a mama and as a daddy got to carry that your children should never have to carry. Are we following along? We've got to make sure that we are that fruitful bow. We're going to be a fruitful bow, but are we going to be fruitful for blessings or fruitful for burdens? What fruit are you going to produce? What fruit are your children going to eat? Listen, I know several folks that have grown up in the ministry, and they've grown up in a home where they had a church staff member, or a deacon of a church, or a pastor of a church, or an assistant pastor of a church, or a Sunday school teacher in a church. And everything was hunky-dory and everything was fine and dandy at church. And everybody thought they were a great family at church. But when they got home and they got behind the closed doors and they got behind the walls of the house, all hell broke loose. And the children had to endure some things in a home that they should have never had to endure. They had to bear some burdens that their parents should have never allowed for them to bear. All because parents chose not to be situated by a well and behind a wall. Are we following along? Are you catching what I'm talking about? There's going to be some burdens that you have to bear. Your children should never have to bear until they get strong enough. Joseph did not have to bear the burden of supplying food for the world until God strengthened his arms. Did you get that? Joseph didn't have to bear that burden until later in life. If Joseph would have been thrown out of his home and tossed into a pit and became a prisoner and went from the prison and instead of going to Potiphar's house and learning how to deal with temptation, how to deal with struggle, if he had gone and done that, instead of going to Potiphar's house, he'd have gone straight to the palace, everybody would have died in this world. Because he was not strong enough to bear that burden at that time. Because God is a God of divine timing. And God's going to place things on our lives when we are able. He will bear His fruit in His season. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 3. But again, as long as he's situated by the river of water, his leaf will not wither. And when we're going through some times where we may not be bearing the fruit that we want to bear, we've got to stay by the well. We've got to get strengthened in our roots. We've got to get strengthened in our convictions, strengthened in our walk with God, so that when we do bear the fruit, we have arms that are strong enough. We have hands that are strong enough. We have roots that are dug in deep enough that when the winds come and the branches are full and others are eating the fruit, that we're not going to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. That we're not going to be flatlined in our ministry. But rather, we're going to continue to bear fruit for the glory of God. We've got to make sure we are a fruitful bow. We've got to make sure, listen, also, as far as the substantial provision is concerned, there's going to be some times, just like Joseph, they went through 7 years of plenty, and then they went through 7 years of famine. There's going to be some times where you've got to store up the grain during the plenty. There's going to be some times where you've got to store up the blessings during the plenty, because right around the corner, the famine's going to come. And you've got to have blessings to draw from. Okay? What I mean by that is this. There's going to be some times where you go through some hard things in your Christian life, and you're not going to understand why you're going through the things that you're going through. There are going to be times where you're going to hear about a mentor of yours that's got cancer. Or you're going to hear about a loved one of yours that's only got 5 months to live. And you're going to hear about this and this and this. And you're going to go through some dark days in your Christian life. And you've got to be able to draw from the well. You've got to be able to draw from the supply, from the storehouse where you've set up some blessings from God. And you've got to be able to remember and reminisce and understand that the same God that kept you during the good times is the same God that's going to keep you during the bad times. And God's going to keep funneling the blessings your way. But we've got to make sure we stay situated by the well. Listen, I love you and I love your families. I want to make sure that all these young people turn out for the glory of God. But listen, young people, you're not going to turn out for the glory of God if you don't listen to what your parents are trying to teach you. They're trying to show you how to be situated by a well. They're trying to show you how to be behind a wall and how to deal with things in secret. And you as a young person, especially as a teenager, you've got to respect that. You don't need to be privy to every single conversation your parents have. Amen right there. There are times they're going to have some conversations in secret and you don't need to know about them. There are some times where they deal with some things that you don't need to be aware of. Because that's their burden, not yours. And we've got to make sure that we're situated behind the wall. And that we're situated beside the well. So here, the situation's by the well. His secret was he was behind a wall, but then he had substantial provision. Substantial provision for everybody that came by. Where'd the provision go? It came over the wall. Because when God is good and ready, young people, are you listening? When God is good and ready, your parents are going to branch out some fruit for you to be able to eat from. And parents, you got to make sure they're eating of the blessings and not the burdens. Because they can't bear them. But they can bear the blessings. When God does something great in your life, and God answers a prayer, and God provides something in your life, you ought to share every bit of that with your children and show, look, this is how good God is. See, listen, we've been faithful to church. We've been faithful in tithing. We've been faithful in giving to our missions. And God provided in this. And God provided in this way. And God provided in this way. And you ought to share those blessings with your children. Why? So that they can see a mom and a dad that love God and that serve God and that are faithful to God. And they see a God that loves them and pours out the windows of blessings upon their lives and gives them blessings from heaven. Again, the blessings that come from heaven are the supply. But there's going to be some blessings you're going to have to dig for. You're going to have to search for those things. But during those times, you've got to make sure that you're protecting the next generation for the glory of God. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. A little bit of a different message tonight, but I want to share with you my heart. Simple fact is, listen, these young people, I want every one of them to turn out for the glory of God. Just as much as it relies on them yielding themselves over to God, we as parents, we got to show them how. We've got to show them how. We've got to show them how to enjoy the blessings. Listen, young people, understand this. If all you're seeing are the burdens, then you learn how to get situated by a well. You learn how to get situated in secret before God. And talk to your parents about it. One of the things, as a young person, the devil wants to lie to you and tell you that your parents don't understand what you're going through. The devil wants to lie to you and tell you and try to convince you that your parents aren't going to believe what's going on in your life. Listen, your parents want to talk to you. Your parents want to love you. Your parents want to care for you. And God has put them in your life to counsel you and to guide you in the direction you're supposed to go. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. That's what the Bible says. And the daddy of the home is the mighty man. He's the good man of the house. He's the strong man. And he's guiding his children for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth. Lord, help us.